What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
For Wire Worry Week this week, we've been discussing optic politics and the media. What this means is the various viewpoints that get represented in our political systems and the media. When Green MP and spokesperson for human rights Gulruz Gaderman became a candidate in politics, it was noted she would be the first refugee New Zealand MP. I wanted to hear what she had to say about the place of identities in politics, so I asked her how she sees identities being political.
To me, politics and identity are inseparable because, of course, you know, we all bring what we've lived as our experiences to our politics, whether that's as parents or as members of a particular ethnic group, whether it's as tangata whenua, students, young people. It's politics because politics is all about representation. Democracy is all about representation, and that should be something that's celebrated. But of course, now we see this kind of weaponization of the term identity politics, and it seems to only be weaponized against members of a minority group speaking to the interests of that minority group.
And I guess along that similar vein of thinking, do you think that New Zealand potentially has a problem in its political system with excluding people who are marginalized?
Yeah, I think that's actually really apparent, because when I first ran as a candidate and someone figured out that I'd be the first ever refugee MP, that kind of came to the forefront for me inadvertently. But then as you start to look at it more and more closely, and you look at the age range of Parliament, you look at the gender representation, you look at ethnic representation, and when you think about, for example, Pacific people's representation in our politics, and we are a Pacific capital, and we've only got a very small handful of people in those leadership roles, and then you kind of come down into the local government, and that stuff just falls away. So you do, you know, have to ask, is it enough for us to be given one vote per person as minorities, or is that just kind of this majority rule politics that will never ever serve our interests? And when you think about things like the rights of disabled persons or the rainbow community, it gets more and more dire. So yeah, we do need to have minorities at the decision-making table, because how else are our issues even going to come to the fore, and are we actually being ghettoized as sort of these little small interest groups, rather than being part of the mainstream when someone considers something like housing, because that's not a minority issue, but minorities are experiencing it in different ways. You know, the disabled community is going to experience housing in a different way, and how is someone who doesn't know that lived experience going to identify their issues in housing, for example?
And I suppose whenever identity politics, as you brought up, it's something that's been weaponized, but it also comes in parallel with this commentary about free speech and people being able to say whatever they want about other groups of people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I find it interesting that, you know, when you talk about identity politics, it almost always means minority identities, because nobody sort of says, well, actually, the needs and interests of able-bodied persons have been prioritized in city planning, or the needs and interests of straight people are. That actually is an identity point, prioritizing, you know, a world where that is the identity that's being well served, is itself identity politics. And then when you look at something like free speech, and people talk about free speech, they're never talking about taking away the very valid, very long-standing limitations on free speech that protect individuals and can be enforced by individuals, you know, against people that have hurt them through speech. So something like defamation, where you can't harm a person's reputation by lying about them, is illegal, and no one's ever fighting to sort of legalize that. But why is it that I can't say that a particular person is, for example, a terrible criminal or a pedophile even? Well, because that would harm their chances of getting a job or walking down the street safely. But I can say that and make up fake articles, share them, make up Facebook groups, share that kind of false information that really hurts, for example, gay men or Muslims. I can do it when it's about a group of people, or, you know, harassment. You can, you know, you can't do that if it's aimed at an individual, but then you can do it when it's an entire group, where it's a minority religious group. You can actually rile up that hate, for example, where it can result in real violence or against women. So you kind of go, well, powerful identities get protection. Individuals get protection. You can go to court, but you can't if you're a minority that's already suffering different points of oppression. And are you really fighting for free speech there? Or are you fighting for the right to harm minorities through speech?
Something you also have mentioned previously in one of your speeches was that you feel journalism has been killed off. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got a situation, and I think future generations are going to look back on this and kind of find it astounding that we don't really regulate online spaces, because we can all kind of go online and live our lives online. Our real lives are lived online. You know, it's not something that you can really shut off anymore. People have to work online and connect online, you know, run businesses online, go to sort of be educated online. And information channels are all there, but pretty much unregulated. So you can choose what information you consume. You can become radicalized. You can start entire movements online, and we don't regulate them. Whereas something like journalism is regulated, because we do kind of recognize that it's not in the interest of the public to have people be able to publish hateful things, to rile hostility against members of the community, to lie, for example. You know, we have broadcasting standards. But actually, because these online platforms are now far more powerful, we need to think really hard about what that means for journalism, for that kind of ethics-based information sharing mechanism that is public broadcasting and public interest journalism. So we've killed that off because we don't pay for it anymore. We're not willing to pay for it. We get all this other information for free. But it's also harmful to us and to sort of the health of our society.
Worry Week on The Wire.